We're back in session. Let's move to tab seven. This is the final departmental overview presentation. Carolina De Onis will report on the legal and compliance function. Carolina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for this opportunity to address the board about our legal and compliance function. Before I get into the meat of the presentation, I want to take the board back to when I first joined UTEMCO last year. I think that will give some context to my presentation and will help you understand some of the foundational and transformational work that was done this year with this team. So legal and compliance have been separated into two groups. There was corporate legal compliance and enterprise risk management that was headed under Sissy, and then there was investment legal, which was headed under another attorney who is no longer with us. So they had different reporting lines. They had very distinct silos of work and responsibilities, and the teams were even located on two different floors within the building. So the organizational structure created impediments to having a cohesive legal compliance and enterprise risk management, or ERM, strategy, and it hampered the collaboration and communication that one would normally like to see in a high-functioning legal and compliance team. So when Sissy announced her retirement, the goal was to combine the legal, compliance, and ERM function under general counsel's office and bring the general counsel and the chief compliance officer roles under one person. So my job this year has been to bring these disparate groups together, combine these functions, increase our effectiveness and efficiency, and do our part to protect UTEMCO's reputation and integrity. So with that background, I'd like the board to take away three things from my presentation today. First, there's been a complete cultural reorientation of the legal and compliance function within UTEMCO towards what I've called one team. Because this work was absolutely critical and foundational to the team's ongoing success, I'm going to spend the bulk of my time talking about that today. Second, now that we are a combined function, we work essentially as an in-house law firm, performing most of the legal, compliance, and ERM work internally, and only leveraging our external counsel and other vendors when it's prudent and cost-effective to do so. So in the coming slides, I'm going to give you a flavor of the type of work that we do, as well as the volume that we handle on a routine basis. Third, our strategic priorities next year will be focused on leveraging this combined team and ensuring that all legal, compliance, and enterprise risks are fully and effectively vetted and appropriately eliminated or mitigated. So turning to the next slide. Thank you, Doreen. So I view the function of legal and compliance essentially as one of risk mitigation. One team was integral to that, and we're reaping the benefits of that every single day. First, legal and compliance issues are rarely black and white, and they're rarely one-sided. It takes judgment, experience, and often multiple points of view to reach the right legal or compliance decision or outcome. So this is a gross oversimplification, but legal is essentially the question of what can we do? What can we do? What's permissible? What's impermissible? What's legal? What's not legal? Compliance is what should we do? What standards of conduct do we want to hold ourselves to? So it's really important when you're looking at a difficult legal or compliance issue to bring both of those perspectives to the table. One team has facilitated this collaborative approach enormously, and all members of the team now communicate, exchange ideas, and lend their expertise and experience with each other on a daily basis. Second, legal and compliance issues more often than not overlap, and they can overlap significantly. New regulatory regimes is a perfect example of that. So the daily collaboration that we have facilitates issue spotting of material risks for the firm, and it helps us identify how to mitigate those risks effectively. Third, we've cross-trained the team so that there's not just one person on the team who knows how to perform or advise on a critical function. This means that all legal and compliance needs are effectively met, regardless of staffing challenges on any particular day or week. So looking at the next box on the compliance side, we transition the function to a brand new team that is able to look at the program with fresh eyes. First, we established the guiding principles for compliance. I think everyone knows here that we love our acronyms at UTEMCO. So we tried to distill our philosophy into the acronym IREAP, as in I reap what I sow. I'm just going to touch on a few of the concepts. First, we've kept our independence, which is vital to our credibility with the board and with UT system. We are robust, which means that we follow the best practice given our size and the complexity of operations. A good example of that, which I explained to our Audit and Ethics Committee last week, is our move to the Compliance Personal Trading Software Platform, which we will have fully implemented by next quarter. The other concepts listed there, embedded, approachable, and preventative, are geared toward ensuring that we can address issues before they become real problems or risks for the firms. Finally, we're taking a fresh look at how we do compliance and ERM at UTEMCO. We've made some significant strides so far, including simplifying compliance reporting for the Audit and Ethics and Investment Risk Committees, and making sure that material failures and violations are readily apparent and that remedial measures are discussed and understood. The third prong of our cultural reorientation is incorporating servant leadership principles into our practice. So servant leadership, I think, is a natural fit for the legal and compliance function. Throughout my career, I've always practiced what I call relentless client focus. And I love those three words, relentless client focus. That means knowing your client, understanding their business, understanding their goals, their needs, their wants, their strategies. It means finding practical, commercial solutions that work for them. And importantly, it means keeping our eye on their agenda and not our agenda. It also means establishing trust with your clients. As attorneys, all we have is the trust of our clients and our integrity. So I've worked particularly hard this year building trusting relationships with management, with rank and file personnel within UTEMCO, and with our ultimate client, UT System. So I have regular updates with the general counsel for UT System, as well as compliance personnel within UT System, and Kyle and I also communicate on a regular basis. So moving to the next slide, I wanted to introduce you to our newly constituted team. I chose the adjectives harmonious, engaged, and empowered very deliberately. We really do work well together, and we share the same philosophy on how to practice law and to accomplish our compliance work. Combined, we have 66 years of experience between four attorneys and almost 40 years of paralegal and compliance specialist experience. That's between three paralegals. So we have an extremely mature and experienced team. We were able to retain our top players while we also recruited two new A players to the team, and I want to introduce you to them briefly. First is Lane Arnold. He has an extensive background in private markets and hedge funds. I worked with him for about 7 years at TRS and was very happy to bring him over to UTEMCO. Kim Davis is our newest hire. She's held various legal and compliance positions throughout her career, most recently as a managing director at Charles Schwab. So this has been a complete overhaul of leadership within legal and compliance, and it's been made easier with these two hires. They are excellent, excellent attorneys. They are deep thinkers, and they are strong cultural carriers. So turning to the next slide, I wanted to give you a flavor of our daily activities and the breadth and complexity of the issues we consider. Most of the attorneys that I know practice in only one of these areas, and all of us practice in all of these different areas. So there is quite a breadth of work that we do. I'm not going to go into the slide in great detail. I think the work we do is fairly self-explanatory. I do want to note that we handle the vast majority of the work internally. Okay, so without using external counsels, we manage that ourselves. And we're all generalists, which means that we all practice in all of these areas. And if we're not an expert in them yet, then we're cross-training each other to make sure that we do so. On the legal side, as you can see, the bulk of our work relates to investments. Sorry, you can go back. As shown in the pie chart up at the top, almost 90% of that work is for the private markets. Those of you in the private markets know that this can be really complicated transactions. There can be protracted negotiations. We do about 12 deals and amendments per month, or that's about 120 per year. So it's very high volume. One of the areas where one team has been really beneficial for the firm, and not just for our team, but for the firm, has been in the area of vendor agreements. So these are contracts for goods and services that are outside of the investment world. Again, the volume's quite high. We have about 8 contracts per month, or about 100 per year. That work used to be handled by one person. And so we've now spread that work across team members. So our response time to review those agreements and get those back to the team has decreased by many weeks or even months in some cases. And we have made an agreement with the business to get those back to everybody within 2 weeks. So that's been extremely beneficial for the firm. On the compliance and ERM side, a big accomplishment this year was the clean audit, and there was a specific finding by UT System that UTIMCO met the Department of Justice guidelines for an effective compliance program. So we're very pleased and proud that we really passed that audit with flying colors. You can see on the slide the number of rules that we monitor and test on a daily, monthly, and quarterly basis. So we provide confidence to the Audit and Ethics Committee and the Investment Risk Committee that our operational and investment controls are working and that we're properly reporting any violations. So moving to the last slide, I wanted to talk briefly about our strategic priorities for 2022. Our theme for this year, building on the one team theme, is build it together. So on the legal front, we're gonna be onboarding some new external investment counsels. So we just signed up 4 new firms to represent UTIMCO. Traditionally, for the past 8 years, we've only had one external law firm represent us. So we're increasing that significantly. This really is the last piece of our one team model. We needed to increase the number of firms for a number of reasons. First, we just needed to diversify. So the same reason that we diversify with our investment portfolios, we needed to diversify with our law firms. We didn't want to be in a situation where we were conflicted out from using the law firm that we have on board. So we needed to have other options available to us in case we needed them. Second, we need some specialized expertise, for example, in the areas of tax and derivatives. We also needed some additional firms that had a global footprint and international offices to the extent that there were foreign law issues that we could not advise on as US lawyers. And so we've achieved that. Finally, and this is something that I heard from board members and also from some of the managing directors of the profit centers, we needed greater industry color in the private markets space. So we see the deals that we do, but our external law firms see deals from various LPs and GPs across the spectrum, and that's incredibly useful to us as we negotiate these transactions. On the compliance side, we're gonna continue to work on automating our compliance systems. That really is our number one goal this year, is to be able to do a lot of compliance with the push of the button and eliminate some of the manual and human error that is inherent in not having that sort of system. So particularly with regard to personal trading, the personal trading software that I mentioned at the beginning of my remarks, that should be done, as I said, by March of 2022. So finally, a lot of work does need to be started and accomplished in the ERM space. We're looking to move to a new model where we report and assess on enterprise risk on a quarterly basis. One of the recent trends in ERM is to consider strategic risks in addition to operational risks. And so we're gonna be incorporating that into our risk assessments and our analysis. We also need to develop better ERM reporting and metrics and to educate management on how they can use ERM models more effectively. So Mr. Chair, this concludes my report. It's been my pleasure to deliver this to you today.
Great, thank you, Carolina. Any questions of Carolina? Well, thank you, really outstanding work, and your job is to keep us off the front page of the newspaper, as I say. But no, critically important because, you know, the reputational kind of balance sheet that we've created here is really quite astounding. So you are the standard bearer of that. So guard it well. Okay. All right. Thanks. Next, tab 8 is a report from the Audit and Ethics Committee. We'll consider 2 action items. After Director Hanley's report, Director Hanley, will you please provide your report?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Audit and Ethics Committee convened via Microsoft Teams on December 2nd, 2021. All committee members participated in the meeting. At that meeting, the committee considered 3 action items. Minutes of the September 8, 2021 meeting were approved as drafted. Deloitte and Touche LLP's financial statement, audit results, and communications letter for the investment funds under the fiduciary responsibility of the University of Texas System Board of Regents for the year ended August 31st, 2021 were approved, subject to approval by this board. And the separate annual financial statements and audit reports for the PUF, Permanent Health Fund, JEF, LTF and ITF for each of the fiscal years ending August 31st, 2021 and August 31st, 2020, and statement of performance statistics for each of the aforementioned funds for the fiscal year ended August 31st, 2021 were approved, subject to approval by this board. Robert Cowley, partner in charge of the audits of the funds, discussed the audit of the funds and is here today to present a brief report on the audits. So do we have Robert on the line? Oh, sorry. I missed you. Sorry, Sneaker. All right. Floor is yours.
Thank you, Ms. Hadley. Good morning, everybody. Glad to be here. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. As you all know me by now, I'm Robert Cowley. I'm the audit partner from Deloitte, and I'm responsible for the audits of the funds. With me is Aaron Dixon. He did all the work, so I thank him for work well done. But if you look at your board communication, this is a communication that's required under professional standards. And I'm going to highlight some key points. So probably the most important point is that we issued this communication on October 29th this year. And that was the date that we issued our clean, unqualified opinions on all the financial statements of the funds. So that's when we completed our audit. And it's important to note that we were engaged to opine on the financial results of the funds to determine to make sure that they are in accordance with US GAAP accounting principles here. And the terms of our agreement was stipulated and under professional standards and in the overall UT system contract. It is important to note that we are not opining on the controls of the effectiveness of the controls of the funds, like what you would see in public companies and public funds. That's not what the purpose of the audit was. We just opine on the financial results. If you look at the next point, the accounting policies did not change from the prior year, and that's detailed in footnote 2 of each financial statements. And for most or all companies or funds, there's always an area of significant accounting estimates. And not surprisingly, the significant accounting estimates for the funds are really the investments in the hedge funds and the private investments. And the way that that is being valued by management is something called the practical expedient, which is a well-defined term in GAAP. But really what that means is on a monthly or quarterly basis, your TIMCO gets net asset values from the underlying funds, and they use that to prepare the financial statements values. It's important to note that they're not adjusting those numbers that they get. The only adjustments they would make is if there is actual changes where they made an additional investment or there was cash received back from the underlying funds. But otherwise, those things are not being adjusted. So that's the key area of accounting estimate. I'm happy to report that we had no uncorrected misstatements or corrections to the financial statements during the year. If you look at the financial statements overall, you would see in addition to the financial results, there's also additional information. Firstly, there's the management discussion and analysis, which is in all the files. And that's required under generally accepted GASB, like governmental accounting standards. Then in addition, there's supplemental information. Firstly, in the PUF, there's a schedule that details the change in the cost of the respective investments and investment income. And then in all the other funds, the PHF, LTF, JEF, and ITF, there's a financial highlight schedule. And during the audit, what we do is we make sure that the information in these schedules are consistent with the financial results of the funds as a whole. And there was no uncorrected misstatements. I'm happy to report that we had no disagreements with management, and we are not aware of any consultations that management had, maybe with other accounting firms. And we also had regular communication with management, but there were no significant issues with findings that we discussed. I also want to make sure that we had no difficulties during the audits, and I want to make sure that you understand that in the short period of time, 60 days from August 31st to October 31st, management has to prepare the financial statements, and then we have to go and audit that in the space of 60 days. And that is normally the time frame that you would see for public mutual funds that only invest in pretty much equities and bonds. And you understand the complexity of all these investments that your TIMCO hold. So I think Joan, and I'm not sure where Gary is. Right behind me. But Joan and Gary, their team did an incredible job to support us during the audit
allow us to issue our reports within 60 days. So I want to thank you and your team, Joe. Thank you. Then, if you look, there's a management representation letter that's attached to our communication. Under professional standards, we get a letter from management every year, which is the same as the prior year, that tells us that things that they are responsible for. So that's attached as Appendix A. As I mentioned on the outset, we issued clean, unqualified opinions. However, there is some emphasis of matters in the opinion. This doesn't impact the opinion, but we just want to draw attention to certain things. The first one is that we just state that these are the financial statements of the respective funds, but not of the UT system as a whole. And then for PUF, the most important thing is that the financial statements does not include the 2.1 million acres in West Texas. And it's not because that's not being managed by UTOMCO, but that's being excluded. But a key point is that doesn't impact our opinion. And then lastly, as we mentioned earlier, there is a management discussion and analysis that's required under GASB, and we make sure that that information in there is consistent with the financial results as a whole, but we do not opine on that communication. And that's basically what I have to say.
Great.
Any questions, Robert, for the chairman?
Thank you.
Any questions for Robert? On the West Texas lands, is that incorporated in the UT system audit process?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you very much. Great job. All right, Janet, thank you for the report. Now we need
to... quite finished.
Okay.
Still going. Sorry. Okay, there are resolutions in tab 8 we'll consider when we finish this. So in addition, during our committee meeting, we had a report from Carolina on fund compliance matters for the 3 months ended August 31st, 2021, including an update on recent compliance initiatives and accomplishments. Caroline also provided a report on new contracts as well as the annual reporting of all contracts over $250,000. Other than action on the resolutions behind tab 8, that concludes the report from the Audit and Ethics Committee.
Thank you, Director Hanley. Now we need to approve the resolutions related to the audit results and communications letter for fiscal year ended August 31st, 2021, the annual financial statements for the funds for the fiscal years ended August 31, 2021 and August 31, 2020, and the statement of performance statistics for the fiscal year ended August 31, 2021. Those resolutions are on page 99 of your diligent board materials. I have a motion to approve the resolutions related to the audits of the funds.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Thank you very much, Director Hanley. The next item on the agenda is in tab 9, and it is the report from the Investment Risk Committee. No action items in this section. Director Hanley will present the report as well on behalf of the committee.
Quick,
Director Hanley.
Investment Risk Committee met via Microsoft Teams December 2nd, 2021. All members of the committee, except for Director Rothrock, participated in the meeting. The committee considered one item, minutes of our September 8, 2021 committee meeting, were drafted as approved as drafted. Routine business included a report from Carolina on fund compliance matters for the quarter ended August 31st, 2021. The committee also received a market and portfolio risk update from UZI, including reporting on individual manager contributions to risk, bear market indicators, the current economic regime, 1 and 5 year returns, the implementation of the borrower risk system, and a summary of the internal risk committee activities. There are no action items for this board's consideration. This concludes the report from the Investment Risk Committee.
Okay, great. Thanks, Director Hanley. Next is the report from the Cyber Risk Committee. There are no action items in this section as well. Director Rothrock, would you please begin?
Thank you. The Cyber Risk Committee met via Microsoft Teams on December 2nd, 2021. All committee members participated in the meeting. The committee considered one action item, the approval of the minutes of its meeting on September 8th, 2021, which were approved as drafted. The committee met in executive session to receive a report from Mike Scholander, Dave Gahan, and Stephen Mack on the corporation's cyber risk program, including an update on security metrics, information security program, and other projects. There are no action items for this committee, Mr. Chairman. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Director Rothrock. All right, we need to go into a quick executive session. Shouldn't take more than 5 or 10 minutes. So before we go into the session, need to read the following statement. The Board of Directors of the University of Texas, Texas A&M Investment Management Committee, having been duly convened in open session, notice of this meeting having been duly given, I hereby announce the convening of a closed meeting as an executive session to consider individual personnel.
You might need to stay.
Individual personnel compensation matters pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551074. The date is December 9, 2021. The time is now 11:20.
Hey, Adam, you also need to stay.
Are you good?